Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This morning we conclude our summer sermon series from the prophet Jeremiah. And this has been a difficult book. It's a difficult book because it is filled with stories of the disobedience of God's people and the discipline of God toward his people. There's a lot in this book that is that's hard. There's a lot in this book that's condemning. There's a lot in this book that speaks to the evil of people, their disregard for God. And it speaks of God's justice and holiness in holding his people accountable. But also sprinkled throughout the book, there are words of hope. And there is the reality that God is a redeeming God, a God who is able to bring about a change, indeed, who is able to bring back to himself the people who have wandered far from him. Where we are here towards the end of the book of Jeremiah is that we have the people in Judea who have been conquered by Babylon. Their city, Jerusalem, which they thought was impregnable, has been now destroyed. They have been taken away into exile in a faraway land in Babylon. They have been scattered physically, taken to an isolated place. And they have also been scattered spiritually. They have been taken away from their holy city and specifically their holy temple, which has been destroyed. Where is God in this new land? But this is not the last word. The Babylonians are not going to be able to determine the destiny and the final result of the people of God. For God is in charge, and God knows the end that he has in mind, and he has the power to bring it about. And so I invite you to turn with me to the 50th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to read together verses 17 through 20 to read what God's destiny is for his people who are scattered physically, his people who are scattered spiritually. And this is what we read again, Jeremiah chapter 50, beginning in verse 17. The Israelites are like sheep. They have been scattered by lions. First, the king of Assyria ate them up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon cracked their bones. Therefore, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Now I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel home again to its own land, to feed in the fields of Carmel and Bashan, and to be satisfied once more in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, says the Lord, no sin will be found in Israel or in Judah, for I will forgive the remnant I preserve. The people of Israel are like sheep that have been scattered by lions. They have been driven far away from their homes, which are no more. They live in a place that is foreign to them, a foreign language, foreign customs, where they are enslaved. They have been driven away from the spiritual center of their existence. And this, of course, applies not only to the Israelites in their scattering, but when we think about this, we can think of it as being emblematic of human existence itself. There's a great deal of scattering that people today experience in their lives. A relational scattering where people are out of communication with one another, where people live in alienation and in bitterness, and people refuse to be reconciled. A spiritual scattering where people are far away from God. Indeed, many have even decided that there is no God. And so the God who created us, the God who made us the way we are, and included within us a desire to be in relationship and a need to have a spiritual connection with Him, we find ourselves disconnected and scattered in our being. There is an emptiness within the human soul that can only be filled by God and by the love that He calls us to have for one another. Now, many people do not recognize that. Many people do not admit to that. Indeed, many people deny that reality. And yet, humanity drives to fulfill that emptiness. Whether it is through various kinds of pleasure or seeking achievement, all different ways in which we try to fulfill within ourselves something that is lacking, something that is not there. But God, as St. Augustine said, made us for Himself. It's how we're made. In some sense, we can't help it. And we will not rest until we rest in Him. We will not be at home until we're at home in Him and in the community that He desires to establish through His love for us. The image of the scattering of God's people is a good image for the scattering of human beings in general. But God's word promises that He is able to bring His people home, that He is able to provide for them a place where they will find fulfillment, where they will find a spiritual connection with a holy God, and where they will find a relational connection with fellow human beings who seek to love one another in the way that God loves us. That rather than being scattered, driven apart, restless, we are able to be brought home into a place where we are united. The way in which God does this spiritually is through Himself, who He is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit that people are initially brought into relationship with Him, as Jesus says in the Gospel of John, that people are born again, born into a new reality, a reality that speaks of home rather than speaks of being scattered and drifting and being apart from God. The Holy Spirit brings us together, and it is the way that each one of us is brought into connection with God, is by the Holy Spirit. And there is unity in that commonality. Within who God is, there is also God the Son, who came into the world as the man Jesus. And it is Jesus Christ Himself who called people to Himself and said, "Come, follow Me. Be part of My group. Find a home for yourself with Me." And part of what that means, having been brought by the Holy Spirit, it now means that together we engage in the kind of ministry that Jesus did. The ways in which He shared the good news, the ways in which He gave His life for others, the ways in which He served and cared for people, especially people who had need, especially people who were outcast and on the fringes of society, those people who were the most scattered in their lives spiritually and relationally and socially were the people that Jesus focused on. And He said, "Come to Me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, all who are tired of being scattered, come to Me, and I will give you rest." Through the Holy Spirit, and in relationship with Jesus Christ, we are able to come home from the places where we have been scattered. The Spirit and the Son, and of course the Father. The Father unites us in common worship. The Father unites us in a common understanding and common belief that He is God and there is no other. There are no gods before Him. There are no other gods in this world that we can go and worship and serve and meet the needs that we have. Those gods will not be able to bring us together, but He will, for He is our Heavenly Father. That very deliberate image of Scripture, which calls us His children. And of course, that is the image of the family. The unity in where father and mother and children together have a relationship, together live in a place, no longer scattered, but unified. And so it is that God, through His Spirit and through His Son and through the reality of what it means that He is our Father, He offers to us a spiritual home. And all who are part of that home are part of a Christian community, a worldwide community of people who have been brought in from all the places where they've been scattered. The lost sheep who have been found by the shepherd. The lost coin that has been discovered by the woman who will not give up until she finds that last coin. We are brought together and we are part of a Christian community through the Spirit and the Son and the Father. And when, as the Christian community, we gather locally, we become part of a church. A church is a home for a local group of people, all who are part of the Christian community, not because of anything in particular that particular church does. You're not a part of the church simply because the church says you are. You're part of the church because God says you are, through His Spirit and through His Son, and through Himself as our Heavenly Father. But having come together as a church, we gather together as a local group, as a local body of believers, and we seek to live out what is true of each one of us spiritually, what God has created and brought us to. And so Congregational Presbyterian Church is a local community within the larger Christian community. And we seek for Congregational Presbyterian Church to be a spiritual home where every person who by the Spirit and by the Son and by the Father is part of the community can grow and can be loved and cared for here as a part of who we are spiritually united. And we invite all people who are scattered spiritually in whatever way they're scattered to come here. Not through, again, what we will do for you, but for what God desires to do for you. So come as someone who has been called by God Himself. And we, as a congregation, we invite people to join us, that together we may live this spiritual truth, this spiritual reality, united through the Holy Spirit, who is the one who has caused us to be born again, united through the Son, Jesus Christ, whom together we follow and we seek to emulate and to become like Him, and united through a common Heavenly Father that makes us all children. That is, we are brothers and sisters of one another in this place, united spiritually by what God has done for us. The church, and Congregational Church in specifics, is also a place where God desires for us to be united relationally, where the love that He has for us and the love that He guides us and commands us to have for one another is a love that brings us together relationally. In the scripture that I read, Jeremiah tells us that the promise of God for the Israelites is that He will bring them home to their own homeland. And he gives these four physical locations, Carmel and Bashan and Ephraim and Gilead. And these are places that would be loved by the people. These are names that the exile in Babylon, if anybody spoke them, would give them a tremendous sense of homesickness. I hope one day I can be in those places again. And so just as there are these four locations that would cause within the Israelites such a strong desire to be home again, so I'd like to share just briefly four relational dynamics that if they are a part of our congregation, as I believe they are, although we are never going to be perfect and we always need to work on these dynamics, but if these dynamics are true of us and if these dynamics are emblematic of who we are as a church, then it can be a relational home for people who are scattered. Then these can be things that cause people to say, I want to be a part of that. Because that is where something within me that is missing, something within me that I know is empty, something within me that is not the way I would like it to be. It sounds like it is there. I am told it is there. I go and visit and I begin to experience it. Four relational dynamics, briefly. First is that every person is valued. Every person is valued. Every person is created by God, and every person is given worth by God. A person is not valued just because they come here. A person is valued because we believe that they are to be valued, having been created by God in His image. Every person has worth. Every person has something that they can be contributing to this congregation, having been created by a loving God, in order to give of themselves. One of the reasons that people feel an emptiness is they don't feel that they're able to make a difference. We say you are valued here and you can make a difference here for God. Come to this place and be a part of this Christian family. And we seek and we explore ways in which everyone can be valued and can make a contribution. The second thing is that we recognize that everyone here has particular needs, and we seek to be responsive to the needs of the people who are here. We all have needs, be they physical needs or emotional needs or spiritual needs. We recognize that. We do not expect anyone to come here to be perfect. Indeed, if you come here and you're perfect, you'll really mess with the rest of us. We'd rather you not. Because we all recognize our imperfections, and one of the ways in which those are expressed are in our needs. We know that we're incomplete. We know that there are things that are important in our lives that, for whatever reason, are not being taken care of in a particular moment. And part of what it means to be a family relational, part of what it means to be at home here as a church, it is a place where it is safe to share our needs. A place where we're not going to be gossiped about or talked about behind our back, but people are going to reach out and care for us. If this is a place where needs are truly met, and not seen as weaknesses, but seen as opportunity to serve one another and care for one another, then this place will be the home, the relational home, for people who are scattered as God desires it to be. The third relational area is the area of sensitivity. Now, this is kind of a subtle one, but I think it is a critical one in a community like this, as that we seek to be sensitive to each other where each person is. We're sensitive to where the person is in their walk with the Lord. And we don't expect them or require them to or make them feel badly that they're not in a different place. For people, whether they're right at the beginning, whether they're somewhere in the middle, or whether they've been living for a long time with the Lord and exhibit a lot of maturity in their Christian faith, we are sensitive to where each person is, and we accept them where they are. All of us are called to grow by Scripture. All of us are called to move along, but we are accepted where we are. We're sensitive. And we don't expect everyone to be in the same place at the same time spiritually, and neither do we relationally or emotionally. There are going to be times that you come to this church and you're going to be full of joy. Something really good is happening in your life. We want this to be a place where you can express your joy, and other people will come alongside, sensitive to your joy, and they will be joyful together with you. And similarly, if you come in here and you've had a really hard day, if things are difficult in your life, if you're struggling with things, then you need a home. You need to have a place where people accept what is going on in your life and they're sensitive enough to you to see that and to understand that and to respond to it. As Scripture says, laugh with those who laugh and weep with those who weep. You can't do that unless you are sensitive to where people are. Most of us aren't going to walk into the church and just announce, I just want everybody to know I feel really good today. Well, then you all know. You don't have to be sensitive. You just have to listen. But most of us don't do that. And so we need to pay attention to each other. We just don't come here looking for me and my needs and what I want and how I'm most going to enjoy my day here at church. We come seeking to pay attention to each other, sensitive to the needs of one another. If we are that, then those who are scattered, those who are living in the world and no one pays attention to them, no one is sensitive to them, no one really knows or understands what they're dealing with or going through, this can be a home if we're able to do this for one another. And the fourth of the four things I want to mention is harmony. That this is a place where we live in harmony with one another. Now, that does not mean that we're always going to agree on everything. Yes, there will be disagreements. There will be things that we see differently. But what we're not is that we are not a people who are so proud that we do not allow someone else to have an opinion different from ours. We do not allow disharmony to be more important than agreement. But we say we are willing to disagree for the sake of being united as a people and being together and continuing to love and care for one another. Now, there is one area where we cannot practice this, and that is in terms of our spiritual unity, which goes back to the first principle. We do need to be united in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do need to be united in the faith. That is the ground of who we are as a people. And if someone wants to come and wants to be a part of this community but refuses to be a part of the fundamental faith basis of who we are, no, that's not going to work. There we cannot set that aside and for the sake of harmony say, well, that's quite all right. You don't have to believe those things. I'm talking about the fundamentals of the faith. But in most things, we're not dealing with fundamentals. We're dealing with differences of opinions and different points of view. And people have strong feelings about these things. But we cannot be a home. We cannot be a place if we are unwilling to be in harmony. And again, usually it's because of pride. Usually it's because of people insisting on their own opinions that causes disharmony and that causes disunity. These are the things that we're called to. These are the ways in which God desires for us to live together. This is why we have a community. God knows that we need these things in our lives. He knows that we need to be valued. He knows that we need to have people who recognize our different needs and are willing to step forward. He knows that we need people who are sensitive to us and who can read us a little bit and who can affirm us no matter what it is that we're experiencing. And we need people who say, hey, come be a part of our group. And no, you don't have to think exactly like all of us. You don't have to be exactly like all of us. We want to include you. As long as we're united in Christ, as long as we're united through the Spirit and common in our being brothers and sisters in Christ as children of a heavenly Father, this is a place where we can love and we can be loved. And lastly, and very importantly, is the issue of forgiveness. In verse 20 of our text, in those days, says the Lord, no sin will be found in Israel or in Judah, for I will forgive. I will forgive, says God. Forgiveness is the basis upon which we are able to make this a home. The basis upon which we can be together united as a family. Forgiveness is not something that people who come to this church need to come and then earn. Forgiveness is not something that is bestowed upon people who are acting well enough and doing the right thing once they come and say, can I be a part of your group? And we go, well, let's see how you work out. No, forgiveness is presumed. I will forgive. It is what happens in order for God to bring his people home in our text, and it is what happens today. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Do you remember the story about a dad who had a son, and the son says, I want all my money. I don't want to wait till you die to get my inheritance. I want it all now. And the dad gave the boy his inheritance. And he took off and he went to a foreign land. He scattered. He took off from home because he felt he was going to be in a better situation there. And he lived there and things were really good for a while until he ran out of money. And having run out of money, he was without friends. Having run out of money, he was without anybody who cared about him. Nobody who was interested in hanging out with him. Nobody who was interested in taking care of what he needed. He was forced to take a job feeding pigs, and he was so hungry that he longed to eat the slop that he was feeding to the pigs. That's how far down he was. That's how scattered he was spiritually and relationally. And one day, Scripture says, he came to his senses, and he says, I want to go home. I want to go home. And he begins going home, and as he goes home, he rehearses what he's going to say to his father when he meets his father, because he expects his father not to be overly anxious about receiving him back home. And he says, Father, I know I don't deserve to be your son anymore. I know I don't deserve for this to be my home and for you to be my dad, but can I at least be like one of your servants? At least then I'd have a roof over my head and a little bit of food in my stomach. Can I just come and be a servant? That's what he's rehearsing in his mind. And Jesus, who's telling the story, says, while the boy was still a far ways off, the father sees him. Why does the father see him when he's so far away? Because he's looking for him. He can't wait to see if his son will come home. He sees his son a far ways away, and he runs, the father does, to the son. And he grabs him and he embraces him and he calls him son. Not, oh, you're back, are you? Not, you smell really bad. Why don't you get a shower and then maybe we can talk? Not, I told you so. For the son is already forgiven. And the father's first word is, son, welcome home. And so it is with us as a church. We must not be a church where we feel that we have the right to decide whether other people are acting well enough or behaving themselves well enough that they're worthy of our forgiveness. They've already been forgiven by a Heavenly Father who is bringing them home to a place where together we can live out our forgiveness. This is not a place to earn forgiveness. It is a place to live out forgiveness, to live out what it means to be a united people of God, to be in a home that is safe and loving and caring, a home where each one of us is valued, a home where each one of us is willing to express our needs, and we have people who look out for us and who seek as best they can to meet those needs. A place where people are sensitive to us, not expecting us to be one way or another, but sensitive to who we are and what's going on in our lives. And a place where there's harmony. There's harmony first in who God is, but there's also harmony in who we are for one another. That we're committed not to ourselves first, but to one another first. This is a place of people who are forgiven. And if we are willing to follow Scripture as it teaches us these things, it will truly be home. Not just a place where we come to do our religious duty and to practice religious exercise. It will be a place of home for us.